Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, after the morning fog, it's supposed to be sunny with a high close to 80 degrees. Right now in Kenosha, it is 58, 61 in Burlington, 63 in Milwaukee, and 62 in Racine. Areas of dense fog may be slowing traffic because of sudden reductions in visibility down to a quarter mile or less. A dense fog advisory in effect for portions of southeast and east central Wisconsin through mid-morning. A closed session of the Racine Common Council's Committee of the Whole almost an hour on proceeding against former Machinery Row project developer Rodney Blackwell and how the city gets control of three parcels his limited liability company owns to create some type of development because second developer Gorman & Company has walked away from that project. Prior to the closed session, it was City Administrator Jim Palahniuk calling it time to, quote, tear the Band-Aid off this thing.
There's been a lot of questions, a lot of concerns, a lot of issues with regard to this project, and the goal is to be completely and totally transparent. You know, this really was an evolution of a project that I think began with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of optimism, and I think ultimately it kind of morphed to a little bit more in the way of skepticism and frustration. And I think a lot of people have that, and hopefully we eliminate some of that, and hopefully we can take us closer to a return toward more of that optimism for the future.
City Development Director Amy Connolly said that it can still be an amazing project, but the city needs control of the land and buildings, including 900 Water Street, which a Gorman study showed to have some major problems, and to take care of multiple tenant relocation claims.
Lot 3 is the property that the city acquired through the Knowles Nelson grant. Lot 1, which is blue, Lot 2, which is orange and contains the 900 and 820 building, which I've denoted on the map there, and Lot 4 are currently owned by FDP MR LLC. Only Lot 3, which is the green parcel, is owned by the City of Racine, and that was acquired through the Knowles Nelson grant.
Connolly using the term healing the wound and moving forward with staff recommendations.
We would like and recommend that we terminate our relationship with FDP MR LLC. And we would ask that we talk about this more in closed session due to the sensitivity of that conversation. Number two, we suggest that we promptly acquire ownerships of lots 1, 2, and 4. So the blue, the orange, and the yellow lot that we showed in the map, we believe that it would be in our best interest to acquire that property.
Following the hour-long closed session, the Committee of the Whole supported a 60-day window for staff to come up with both financial and legal obligation numbers and other related information on how to proceed in taking control, total control of the site. The Sunshine Market was closed months ago at 16th Street and Taylor Avenue in Racine as a nuisance property and has been for sale. Until now, a proposal has come onto the books, a transformation into an office for Greenspan Home Healthcare. City Plan Commission heard about it yesterday. Deputy Development Director Matt Sadowski explaining the first floor, that's the former grocery store space, is what's being targeted. Upstairs apartment space going to be controlled by the building's owner.
The first floor is pretty much a blank slate. What's going to be used is some general cubicles inside at this time, potentially some additional rehab of the structure. Right now there's an old counter here left over from the convenience store that was there and some refrigeration units. A little office area that's back here right now, but the applicant is looking to redo the interior to their satisfaction.
Conditional use permit applicant Nina Yates explaining they already have a Milwaukee location. The upstairs space in Racine might be rented at some point.
We've been open for approximately 3 years, and the most that they will ever see is maybe 2 to 3 PCWs, which are personal care workers, coming in and out, signing timesheets and things like that. So parking, I really appreciate Miss Annabelle coming forward and telling us that we can park somewhere, so that will alleviate at least the employees.
Plan Commission's unanimous support for the permit to Greenspan Healthcare at 2124 16th Street, going to the Common Council for final approval next Wednesday. Overheated photo equipment in the basement of a Racine duplex causing about $1,000 damage yesterday. Racine Fire and Rescue units sent to 1635 Boyd Avenue due to smoke detectors that woke up the residents in both the upper and lower units. They reported evidence of an electrical smell and smoke in the basement area. The fire was contained to what's described by the fire department in a news release as a photographic machine. Nobody was hurt. Wind Lake residents Gail Lalonde and Dale Devers making court appearances in Racine County yesterday, facing allegations of keeping a 9-year-old girl locked in a dog kennel for hours at a time. The 46-year-old Lalonde, who is the child's grandmother, charged with causing mental harm to a child and false imprisonment, plus manufacturing marijuana and maintaining a drug trafficking place. Her preliminary hearing postponed until next week. The 48-year-old Devers, whose home is where the sheriff's investigators and human services officials found the metal and wire cage, has the same charges. He waived his preliminary hearing and will enter a plea next Wednesday. Charging document says Lalonde admitted locking the girl in the cage overnight, sometimes during the day, to protect her because the child made threats and also eats, quote, everything that she can get her hands on, unquote, including poisons and cleaning products. While at the home, investigators also uncovered what they said was a marijuana growing operation in the basement. And nearly three dozen We Energies employees leaving the Racine Service Center on Northwestern Avenue yesterday to head south to go help get the power back on in the wake of Hurricane Irma. Utility spokesperson Kathy Schultz saying the first stop of the convoy, nearly 20 trucks in Georgia.
Their first stop will be in Georgia. We believe they're going to wind up in the Atlanta area, but there's no guarantee. They'll really be directed wherever help is needed most. So they could end up in another area like Macon, but we're thinking they'll probably be in the Atlanta area, at least initially.
She says she doesn't know exactly where they're going to be staying or under what conditions, noting that some who worked on the East Coast after Hurricane Sandy just slept in trailers. Some three dozen We Energies employees making the trip, most of them line mechanics. About half a dozen support staff. It's expected they'll be gone for about 2 weeks. The next biennial budget for the state of Wisconsin, a step closer to final approval, the Assembly adopting a spending plan that includes educational provisions that target only Racine Unified. Language added by the Joint Finance Committee would delay implementation of the Opportunity Schools Partnership Program for a year if the next state report card again shows a failing overall grade like the first one. If that happens, it would trigger a study of the effect of breaking up Unified, allowing area villages to decide if they would prefer to form their own district. During debate on more than a dozen amendments to sections of the budget affecting the district, aired live on Wisconsin Eye, Representative Peter Barker said all the residents of the district, not just those outside the city of Racine, ought to be able to vote on any referendum to try to break up the district.
So I would hope that today, here we are in 2017, that my colleagues in the party of Lincoln would recognize just how unjust and just how wrong this would be to deny taxpayers who have been paying taxes for decades to no longer have a vote in what the future of Racine Unified School Districts would have.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss calling Racine Unified's test numbers embarrassing, and while noting that Corey Mason is running for mayor, said that Mason should not be trying to maintain the status quo.
So when we keep hearing how it's Jim Crow and we are defending or upsetting the status quo and hurting children, what's hurting them is a school district that fails, an education that they don't get, the opportunities they will never receive. So while I understand the need for political points today over the course of the next dozen amendments, the reality is on the internet. You can search it on DPI's own website, and you can see the embarrassing statistics for yourself.
Next is the Senate, where the spending package may garner some more attention and more debate. Speculation about where Foxconn might build that gigantic LCD screen manufacturing plant in the Racine-Kenosha area likely going to be ending soon with a formal announcement after the state legislature approves a $3 billion incentives package. Well, in the meantime, Mount Pleasant Land looking more and more like it might be the choice, based in part on what some other communities are saying. Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian, as you know, has cited the lack of help for his city in the next state budget in deciding to pass on Foxconn. But it turns out that Pleasant Prairie had done the same thing earlier. The Kenosha News says there were talks with Foxconn early in the process about the possibility of locating there. Village President John Steinbrink quoted as saying it was not a good fit for us, so they let Foxconn officials know that right off the bat. The needed 1,000 acres for the development was a problem for Pleasant Prairie, along with the impact on taxpayers for building out the services. The length of time that was required, also a concern for Mayor Antaramian. In Racine, the Plan Commission got a look at some of the detailed architectural plans for what will become the S.C. Johnson Community Aquatic Center at Pritchard Park within the next year, thanks to that $6.5 million company donation. Racine County Public Works and Development Services Director Julie Anderson noting it's a gift that will last for generations. Blake Tyson with Ayers & Associates talked about using the existing parking lot to help create 170 spaces, maintaining as much green space as possible, and some of the features of the building.
We have completed a traffic impact analysis, and the results show that we are going to look at an additional lane on the exit out to Ohio. And we're also investigating the possibility of putting a new entrance and exit out to the west side on Roosevelt, which will not only help this project, but any future development within the park.
The main entrance to Pritchard off Ohio will also be getting an archway. The Plan Commission enthusiastically and with great appreciation supporting the site and architectural plan for the pool. Groundbreaking targeted for next month, the opening next summer. WRJN.com is our webpage. Our newscasts are there in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
Thank you.